This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Death, eternal punishment for anyone who opens this casket.
The mummy. Is it dead or alive? Human or inhuman? You'll know. You'll see. You'll feel the awful, creeping, crawling terror that stands your hair on end and brings a scream to your lips. There's nothing on earth like the mummy.
You will not remember what I show you now, and yet I shall awaken memories of love and crime and death.
Now I know his horrible plan. He is going to kill her and make her a living mummy like himself.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the newest installment of the new show here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed titled Pop Goes the Classics. My name is Scott Criscolo. We've had the first couple on the pop feed, and obviously if you are listening, then you kind of like the tone, but it is October, so we've been doing a series of horror movies from yesteryear on Pop Goes the Classics. Now, this series will continue past October, and we'll do Pop Goes the Classics for other great classic films of all genres. But we decided to start it in October and talk about some of the great movies that came out back in the day in the realm of horror. And tonight, we are going to continue through the Universal Monsterverse, if you will. And, of course, that was the run of horror movies that came out between 1931 and 1956. Tonight, we are going to 1932 for the third of the Big Six, and that being The Mummy, which came out on December 22nd, 1932. This is the third time we've done this, and I haven't mentioned the Big Six. I've mentioned the Big Six often, but I haven't mentioned who they actually are. The Big Six, now, there were 30 movies. There were 30 movies in the Universal Monsterverse. The six big ones are Dracula, Frankenstein, The Mummy, The Invisible Man, The Wolfman, and The Creature from the Black Lagoon. And then, of course, there was the ton of sequels and spinoffs that went from that. We're just going to focus on the big six in terms of our pod blasts, but feel free to view any of the sequels that come in the mind. Just go on to Wikipedia, look up Universal Monsters, and it's a whole list of the movies. Or go to Amazon, look up Universal Monsters Blu-ray, and you'll see the box set, which I own, and it's pretty awesome. Tonight we are doing The Mummy. And the best part about The Mummy, once again, another Carl Laemmle-produced film, Jr., this one directed by Carl Freund. This is the second movie, a horror movie, of the Monsterverse that starred Boris Karloff. Of course, as you all know, if you listened, or if you're a horror fan already, or you listened to the past, Pop Goes the Classics, you of course know that Boris Karloff was Frankenstein, or Frankenstein's monster. Well, he came back here, and he played the mummy, meaning Imhotep, the ancient Egyptian high priest. It's about an ancient Egyptian mummy discovered by a team of archaeologists and inadvertently brought back to life through a magic scroll. Disguised as a modern Egyptian, the mummy searches for his lost love, who he believes has been reincarnated into a modern girl. Pretty cool, actually. And again, Boris Karloff, tremendous job. And of course, tremendous job by Jack Pierce and the rest of the makeup crew to make him look pretty awesome. Because I'm sure, and I've read, that this makeup was actually almost tougher to do than the makeup he did for Frankenstein. In a nutshell, An archaeological expedition led by Sir Joseph Wemple finds the mummy of an ancient Egyptian high priest named Imhotep, played by Karloff. When an inspection of the mummy by Wemple's friend Dr. Muller, Edward Van Sloan, guy whose name I always mention, reveals that the viscera were not removed. Muller deduces that although Imhotep has been wrapped like a traditional mummy, he has been buried alive. Also buried with Imhotep is a casket with a curse on it. Despite Muller's warning, Sir Joseph's assistant Ralph Norton opens it. He reads aloud the life-giving scroll, the Scroll of Thoth. Imhotep rises, the sight of which snaps Norton's mind and causes him to laugh hysterically, and the mummy shuffles off with the scroll. Fast forward 10 years. Imhotep is masquerading as a modern Egyptian named Ardeth Bey, calls upon Sir Joseph's son Frank and Professor Pearson, shows them where to dig to find the tomb of the princess Ankhesenamon, I think that's how it's pronounced. After locating the tomb, the archaeologists present its treasures to the Cairo Museum and thank Bey for their discovery possible. It is further revealed that Imhotep's horrific death was punishment for sacrilege, attempting to resurrect his forbidden lover, the princess Ankhesenamon. Trying to say it the way that they said it in the movie. Imhotep soon discovers Helen Grosvenor, a half-Egyptian woman bearing a striking resemblance to the princess. Believing her to be Ankhesenamon's reincarnation, he attempts to kill her with the intention of mummifying her, resurrecting her, and finally making her his bride. Helen is rescued when she remembers her ancestral past life, prays to the goddess Isis to come to her aid. The statue of Isis raises its arm and emits a flash that sets the scroll of Thoth on fire. This breaks the spell that had given Imhotep his immortality, causing him to crumble to dust. At the urging of Dr. Muller, Frank calls Helen back to the world of the living while the Scroll of Thoth continues to burn. 73 minutes, by the way, another nice, compact Universal monster movie. Boris Karloff, Zita Johann, David Manners, Arthur Byron, once again, Edward Van Sloan, Bramwell Fletcher, and etc., and etc. Now, in 1922, kind of like when... in the 80s when, tried to open Al Capone's vault. Well, when they opened Tutankhamun's tomb in 1922, plus the movie The Curse of the Pharaohs, Carl Laemmle commissioned story editor Richard Scheyer to find a literary novel to form a basis for an Egyptian-themed horror film. Dracula and Frankenstein mostly took place in Europe, so Carl Laemmle Jr. wanted a different backdrop, if you will. Well, there was a short story by Arthur Conan Doyle, yes, the one that wrote Sherlock Holmes, and this was titled The Ring of Thoth. Well, they co-wrote a 9-page treatment with a couple of other writers. The story was set in San Francisco, etc., etc. Carl Freund directed. He was the cinematographer on Dracula. He was hired to direct, making this his first film in the United States as a director. He had been the cinematographer on the epic Fritz Lang movie Metropolis, another classic, another one we may do down the line for Pop Goes the Classics, and later photographed this television series I Love Lucy. So he went from horror to comedy. The film was retitled The Mummy. Freund cast Zita Johann. Filming was scheduled for 3 weeks. Karloff's first day was spent shooting The Mummy's Awakening from his sarcophagus. And of course, the working of the great makeup that made this, Karloff looked amazing. He looked amazing in Frankenstein, but he looked just as good here as well. The sunken eyes, the very serious face. Karloff was a very menacing-looking guy, but apparently he was a teddy bear. Jack Pierce, the legendary makeup artist, began transforming him at 11 o'clock in the morning. Then they were done at 7. He finished the scenes at 2 a.m., another 2 hours removing the makeup. And it was tough work, but Karloff did it. A lengthy and detailed flashback sequence is longer than as it presently exists. The sequence showed the various forms Ankhesenamon was reincarnated in over the centuries. Henry Victor's credit in the film is Saxon Warrior, despite his performance having been deleted. Stills exist of those sequences, but the footage has been lost. Because where they used to cut stuff back then, they just cut it. The piece of classical music heard during the opening credits, taken from the Tchaikovsky ballet Swan Lake, was also used in Dracula. So if you listened to the first Pop Goes the Classics, you'll hear that piece of music. I did it at the beginning of Dracula, and for the heck of it, I did it at the beginning of this show, this pod blast as well. And in 1933, it was also reused in the title music for the same studio's Secret of the Blue Room. Film was a great success. as anticipated, and that is, of course, because it was Boris Karloff and it was a good horror movie. Rotten Tomatoes gave it 93%, so not bad. Didn't have the same gravitas, obviously, as Dracula and Frankenstein did, but it still carried a lot of weight. This would be the only movie, by the way, that Boris Karloff would play the mummy. He, of course, would play Frankenstein two more times. And then by 1956, the reason that we always talk about that year as the end is because not only that was the year that Bela Lugosi died, but that was also the year that Boris Karloff realized, I'm getting too old to put makeup on, so he stopped doing makeup movies and, of course, continued to do some great horror and suspense films till his death in 1969. But obviously in regular, he was regular clothes and didn't have makeup on. Unlike other Universal monster films, The Mummy didn't have an official sequel, like Imhotep didn't return. It was reimagined in other films. There was The Mummy's Hand, The Mummy's Tomb, The Mummy's Ghost, The Mummy's Curse, and then, of course, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy. These films focus on the titular character named Karis. It was Claris in the Abbott and Costello film. The Mummy's Hand recycled footage from the original film for use in the telling of Karis' origins, where Karloff is clearly visible in several of those recycled scenes, but another guy played the mummy in the other movies. Now, after Universal was finished, Hammer, of course, Hammer Film is the great British film company that did a ton of great horror in the 60s and 70s. They took up the mummy theme, beginning with The Mummy in 1959, based on The Mummy's Hand and The Mummy's Tomb. Then they did a series of other mummy films not related to each other. And then, of course, we would have the mummy remakes in the 90s. Of course, the ones with Brendan Fraser. Mother Mummy, The Mummy Returns, Mummy Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, and then, of course, the Scorpion King spinoff with The Rock, Rocky Johnson, Dwayne Johnson. Then, of course, there was the mummy reboot that came out that had Tom Cruise in it, and then they realized, well, that sucked, and moved on. Now, unlike Dracula and Frankenstein, The Mummy did have some historical things that they kind of needed to tweak. The Scroll of Thoth, which is the scroll that was used to bring him back to life, Imhotep in the movie, likely based on the Book of the Dead, even though the scroll itself is a fictional artifact. Thoth is the Egyptian god of knowledge, the inventor of hieroglyphs, and the author of the Book of the Dead. The film also makes reference to the Egyptian myth of the goddess Isis resurrecting Osiris after his murder by his brother Set. There is no evidence to suggest that the ancient Egyptians believed in or considered the possibility of reanimated mummies. Mummification was a sacred process meant to prepare a dead body to carry the soul through the afterlife, not for being reincarnated and living again on Earth. While it is possible that some individuals were mummified by being buried alive, it is unlikely that ancient Egyptians would think resurrection was possible because they were very aware of the fact that all the necessary organs had been removed and the body would have been little use on Earth. So, obviously, this is mostly fictionalized. Now, The Mummy has been criticized, this film, for othering Eastern culture, especially portraying it as more primitive and superstitious than in the West. In one scene, the character Helen Grosvenor longs for the, quote, real Egypt, the classical Egypt, disparaging that she's in contemporary Islamic Egypt. Of course, that was a dig on Islam, which wasn't a problem back in the day. Different than it is now. According to many experts, film portrayals of Egypt, especially in archaeology, often deal with themes of appropriating and controlling the dangers of non-European cultures. Breaking pottery and that kind of thing. So there's a lot of different criticisms and historical accuracies and inaccuracies pertaining to this movie because unlike Dracula and Frankenstein, you're talking about possible ancient history. Of course, they didn't actually mention King Tut or King Tutankhamun, who, as I mentioned 10 years earlier, his sarcophagus was opened. Again, kind of like when Geraldo Rivera, that's the name I was thinking of earlier in the blast, Geraldo Rivera opened up Al Capone's vault there. Really not much more to say. This is kind of a quick pod blast. The Mummy is a great movie. It is another exceptional example of the greatness of Boris Karloff. Check it out. Again, I highly recommend getting, if you're a diehard horror fan, I seriously recommend getting the Universal Monster, set. It's a gray box set. It's absolutely beautiful. It's got all 30 Universal films, horror films from 31 to 56. And you're just going to love it. You're just going to love it. Highly recommend it if you're a diehard horror fan. So that's it for this special, for this edition of Pop Goes the Classics. It's a quickie, but I thank you for joining me so we for us to talk about The Mummy. Three down and three to go. The next one we will do, if you're listening to these chronologically, is The Invisible Man, starring Claude Rains. That one's actually pretty cool, too. You think that's not a horror movie, but that's more of like a guy goes nuts. A little different. It's not really a monster. It's more of a sociopath or a guy who's not playing with a full deck. He's a few sandwiches short of a picnic. But there's a reason why. So stay tuned for that one coming up, The Invisible Man. That's it for here. I am Scott Criscolo. Thank you for listening. Pop Goes the Classics here in the Place to Be Nation Pop Feed. Enjoy.